Welcome to the Fearless Podcast. In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. This is episode 14, and today I'm ultra pumped because we have Texas Slim on the podcast, and I'm going to give Texas Slim an opportunity to kind of introduce himself, talk about what he's doing. There is so much parallel and overlap with what Slim is doing and what we have desired to do as a family, and so many things and topics that we talk about all the time regarding parallel community, parallel economy, and a parallel network, and all these different items that we focus on and talk about. Basically, everything Slim is doing is a consolidation of that, and it's very exciting. As y'all know, we raise our own beef, and we just started attempting to sell it locally for a local pickup. Well, Slim is scaling that. And hey, Slim, how you doing? I wanted to welcome you to the podcast.
Well, thank you, sir. And I've really been looking forward to this one. It took us a couple of weeks to get this put together. But, you know, what better than a bunch of Texas boys getting together and talking about beef and sovereignty and kind of cowboying up, I think, is what you just said, is that that's what, you know, I knew to do basically a couple of years ago whenever I went through a life-threatening injury. You know, I reinvented everything, and I did it with the way that I was raised here in Texas. I come from the dirt roads of West Texas. It's been a hell of a journey. So thanks for inviting me on. I think this next hour, hour and a half, 4 hours, whatever it is going to be a good time for everybody here. So appreciate you.
So let's hear a little bit. I've been following you for the past couple years. I don't know if I first heard you on the Survivalist podcast, but you have been interacting in a lot of the networks that I've been paying attention to. So who is Texas Slim? Give us a little bit of your origin story. I want to encourage everybody to check out Slim's podcast, I Am Texas Slim, and you can listen to episode 26, A Cowboy History of the Internet, if you want to get an overarching picture. But I just want people to get to know who you are and why did you decide to start this thing called the Beef Initiative?
You bet. And it's kind of weird, you know, trying to say who you are, but I just made a statement and I can't be more definitive. I come from the dirt roads of West Texas, and the part of West Texas I come from is, you know, it's the Panhandle. It's it basically at one time in the history of the United States, it was called Kamacharia. My family pioneered into Kamacharia in the late 1800s. You know, I'm a multi-generational Texan. And I was raised in agriculture. I was raised on those dirt roads. I was raised within basically livestock in both regenerative, but also commodity. And, you know, I'm a generational X guy. So within the food systems of the United States, I've seen both sides of our coin before we went into basically monocropping and the commodity aspects of a global one world food group. And that's where we're going for. And they've been trying to get here for many years, and they're about to have a lot of successes. Mm-hmm. And so by saying that, you know, I was affected by the basically industrial food shift that happened in the 70s. My family land that my grandfather stewarded through gold conversation, the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl, two world wars, everything. He knew how to survive through all of that. He never knew how to survive through the dead economy of agriculture that happened in the 80s. A lot of people in this country don't really have that reflection. Well, we lived it. And whenever I was 18 years old, my small town, Texas, was basically leveraged out of the community, in which was very powerful at one time, but we were bankrupt as a small town. And so I had to leave, and I went to Austin. I drove to Austin, Texas with $125 in my pocket. I had no money. I had no college money. I had scholarships that I'd turned down, but what I had was myself. And I had a lot of basically grit that I was taught, that was stewarded by my family, especially my grandparents, coming from that pioneering spirit. And so I got into technology. I never went to university. I was self-taught. I used to embed myself in the university in Texas. I would go and sit in on classes, and I taught myself everything I know about technology. I've never taken a class day one. Everything I did was basically experiential training, observational science, and my own form of research. And with that, I became a research analyst within the telecommunications apparatus of the United States. Well, a couple of years ago, I got sick of big tech, and I said, shit, because I'd had enough, because I know where it's going. I know where it was going at that time. And then several years ago as well, I grew up rough and tumble. You know, I grew up the cowboy way, let's just say that. And I've broken over 20 bones in my body. I've got over 14 pieces of metal in me. I've had multiple concussions, but I got an internal injury. I got busted up working metal, and I had broken some ribs, but I didn't really do anything about it. But what I had had was an injury that damn near killed me. And I had to basically reinvent myself from my health, the way I was looking at our medical community in the United States and our food systems. And so I got very serious about basically saving my life, for one. But what I ended up doing was using a lot of research analysis skills. And, you know, I don't use Google to search the internet. I do it in different ways. But all those skill sets I put into something that I called food intelligence. And then I went and embedded myself into a harvest company and about 3 years ago. And I got very deep into basically the global industrial food complex and what they're unfolding right now. And I identified over 4 years ago what was coming down the pipe. And so I really identified what was going on and what's going to unfold. But then I also basically I had to provide a solution. I had to come up with a solution that everybody could really look at and use. And what I ended up doing is borrowing from the past. What did they steal from us as far as our food systems, as far as how we raised cattle back before the commodity systems really, you know, kind of took over by the multinational corporations, the chemical and grain companies, the processing centers, and I came up with the Beef Initiative. So that's basically how all this started. It started out of suffering, and I was able to consolidate that suffering into a solution.
And so what you're saying, as far as your injury, you were able to heal that just through a change in diet. You didn't have to seek out big pharma and a doctor to some kind of potion or lotion or something.
Well, what happened with that, I had ruptured a portal vein within my system, and it was leading to renal failure. And they basically tried to get me under the knife like one or two times. I had CAT scans. I had MRIs. They told me I had cancer. They told me I had 6 weeks to live. They told me I had an ulcer. I had every damn thing told that was wrong with me, except what was really wrong with me. And it was because our medical community is now so compartmentalized that the left hand is not talking to the right hand. And I saw that it was very dangerous for me. So I really started performing my own research, and I pretty much diagnosed myself after they drained 29 liters out of my abdomen over a 10-day period. I've got the pictures of it and everything. I was weighing about 120 pounds at this time. I'd given up hope for the medical community to do anything. I went and looked in the mirror. I said, you're going to have to save yourself on this one. And that's what I ended up doing. I'd fasted my whole life. I know a lot about food. I've never really got into the multinational food systems. I've always eaten from the soil up as much as I can, as much as anybody can, you know, with the life that I've lived. And so my food intelligence was pretty deep. And I just said, this is ground zero, man. Let's go for it. Because I was out of options. A lot of prayer, a lot of gut instincts, and a lot of, borrowing off my grandfather's words and wisdom. And then here we went. And I developed a protocol of success as far as saving my life.
Wow. What's so neat about your story is it's almost the opposite of our story. You know, we I got married in 99, and we started having some kids, and we were in the Northeast, and we were like in a neighborhood and all that stuff. And we started researching about food and health and diet and how all these things are so closely related, and, you know, how the industrial medical complex is not accidentally failing us, but it's designed to create a client group forever, for a lifetime, you know, from cradle to grave. They want a society that is sick and needs treatment, needs pharmaceuticals and all these different things. And so we decided to strategically relocate to Texas, and to, since we both grew up in just like neighborhoods, in conventional households, we decided that we were going to design a more simplified, slower paced life that was designed around agriculture, was designed around raising our own food, knowing where our food comes from by trying to do it ourselves with no previous or prior experience. The beauty of social media is that this access to information, and I think that's a lot what you're speaking about with food intelligence, and then with your tech background. And that, I really like the episode 26, the Cowboy History of the Internet, because it really kind of breaks down the revolution that the communication of the internet is. I can parallel only maybe to like the Gutenberg printing press and the technology of the codex or the book. You know, this was like that next great invention that put the information out there where we can all access it, you know. And then what you saw being in IT is that they were going to attempt to restrict and control that and create it. So, you know, what do we do about it? And simultaneously, they're going to do the same thing with our access to food. And you have all these ranchers out there, and they're just, hey man, I'm just trying to raise cows and raise a holistic product that I can offer to my customer base. And I don't really know about the internet. I don't know about online marketing or all these different things. And basically what the Beef Initiative is merging all of that together. What a lot of people are calling carnivore. You know, we recently shifted our diet to a meat-based diet, and we're seeing just incredible health benefits to that. And this was after we started raising our own beef. And now that we're learning more and more about food and a meat-based diet and high-fat content, you know, now we're even adjusting our herd because we want to inject fat into our herd. So we're looking at different heritage breeds. And, you know, we're looking at conversion ratios and all these different things. And so there's so much parallel here. But, yeah, I'm really excited about the Beef Initiative. We signed up to be an affiliate partner because I want to help y'all promote the Beef Initiative, because almost exclusively what it is doing is what we were just trying to do for ourselves and in our local community on a very local scale. And you're actually setting up a way to scale that and hopefully make it impervious to censorship.
Well, and that's a great kind of overview, and that's exactly what we're doing here. You know, me being in big tech back in the 90s, let's say in web design, right? We didn't have apps. We didn't have online software yet. We had websites. And so going in there, I remember, you know, corporations coming at, you know, web development firms and, you know, spending $500,000 on websites back in the day. And they were thinking, hey, we're going to have a website. We're going to be rich. We're going to own the internet. We're going to own the next several decades. They didn't own anything except a basically a $500,000 website that didn't do them any good. And, you know, this is kind of what has happened in agriculture, especially for local producers and ranchers. They've never had a chance to have a digital voice. They were going to be censored from day one, not intentionally in the beginning, just basically the lack of aptitude of the internet and the technology that we had in front of us. It wasn't something that was collectively a good solution. You had all these moving parts that had to come together over the decades. By saying that, you know, we went for convenience. We went to be able to search through Google apps, online software. Well, the people that had a lot of money basically understood that this was going to be a new form of control, a way that they can perform prohibition against, you know, basically voices. And one thing that the producer ranchers in the United States do not understand is every data attribute that they do as far as a rancher producer has, it is an attribute. It is a data attribute that is not controlled by them. That data attribute is used in digital marketing. It's used in classification. It's used as a technology use agreement if they need to know, if a producer rancher needs to understand the type of prohibition that's going on again in the internet right now. There's a form of a technology use agreement that was invented by Monsanto back in the 80s, and now it's basically on steroids within the internet. And they will never have a digital voice if they're going to rely on Google AdWords, if they're going to rely on Facebook Marketplace to sell their beef. What's the number one most censored apparatus and platform for producers and ranchers to sell their beef or product in the United States? It's Facebook Marketplace. What is the number one platform that is used to try to sell basically their products and services? Facebook. So, and this is what people do not understand. And it's not a judgment. It's just the aptitude required takes a lot of years of understanding where we've come from within the history of the internet. I was there in day one, and I was with several startup companies. I was with the startup company that we basically innovated the stock market. We were the first software, online software company to ever take you trading from your computer all the way to the ECNs. We bent space and time before we even had something called Bitcoin. We were allowing the individual user trade stock to the ECNs. We took the day, we took the traders off the floor. That company that I was with was acquired by Charles Schwab in 1999 for $500 million. And so we know technology when it comes to beef initiative. We know how the prohibition and the censorship that happens through those data attributes. And so that's what we're doing. We're doing a decentralized digital storefront that the producer rancher has never had before. And we've all the way on the back end of things, as far as the backbone of the internet, all the way into servers, how we deliver our data attributes is totally different than all these companies that have basically captured the usability and the architecture of the internet. And that's what I haven't really talked about that much, but we're about to come out and the messaging is going to change. We're a platform, we're ready. We're ready to provide the products, the solutions to these ranchers and producers. And so today is a monumental day for me because we're switching gears. And we're about to ramp up. We're releasing all of our products and services that we've been engineering in the technical labs for the last 3 years. And now every producer and rancher that wants to sell their beef in a regenerative way can come through the Beef Initiative and be part of this collaboration. And they're going to have all the tools and services that we've created, and everything that I've basically, as far as a lifetime being big tech, is going to bring to the producers and ranchers out there that want to be part of this collaboration.
And so this, the term you're using, collaboration, this is this parallel community or parallel economy. This is where crypto comes in. This is where Bitcoin and a modicum of exchange that is unregulatable. That's what's so powerful about what you're doing. And now, how will the Beef Initiative, and I'm kind of a Luddite when it comes to technology. I'm aware of different things. I can't say that I understand, just like Bitcoin. I don't understand it, but where does the Beef Initiative fit with, like, I know, for example, podcasting 2.0, which we're participating in that. The reason that we started a podcast along with our other social media platforms is to hopefully, through the RSS, circumvent, censorship, and we are on the Fountain app. But where do these other decentralized nodules like IPFS and Cordle. How is the beef initiative? Are you all developing your own type of peer-to-peer network, or are you going to integrate one that's already out there?
Well, basically, when you talk about, when you say peer-to-peer network, as far as you're talking about information and as far as nodes between those peer-to-peer, okay, well, what we're going to do is we don't talk anything except Bitcoin, because everything else right now is a capture within the crypto space, as they say. And we don't mess with anything, because one thing that's going on right now is, you know, I saw in technology early on that there was a lot of great innovations, right? But a lot of those great innovations end up getting centralized and captured by the big software companies. You look at Instagram, you look at Facebook. Instagram was a really cool little tool to be able to use. Now Instagram is owned by Facebook, which is Meta. And a lot of great technologies get captured by the people that are trying to cause this prohibition. One thing you can't capture is Bitcoin. It's a decentralized protocol. It's a decentralized network. It has no boss. It has no CEO. It has no centralization. It's truly decentralized across this globe. It's like water flowing off a mountain, right? That mountain picks a way that is decentralized. You can't really control it. You don't know where it's going. And this is why they're so scared of Bitcoin. Bitcoin is also property. It's basically property. It's looked at as property. And so you look at Bitcoin, it's a different form of asset that the world's never seen before. And so within that question that you ask is, you know, peer-to-peer, you bet. You can do that daily. And we've done it all our lives. We had two party line phone systems. We've had a lot of peer-to-peer systems. One of the best peer-to-peer systems that the Beef Initiative stands by is a handshake. Is that actually the basically getting back to being humans again, instead of these digital serfs that everybody has become. This is about relationship management. Our peer-to-peer basically communication tool right now is in person, peer-to-peer, meeting people and actually building communities like we used to build them. By saying that, okay, why do we use Bitcoin? Because it's a peer-to-peer transactional tool that's a store of value that nobody can ever confiscate. They can't steal from you if you understand it and you learn it from the ground up instead of somewhere midstream. And I ask all ranchers to lose any thoughts about NFTs, anything about cryptos, anything like that, because all they are centralized tools that will be captured by these huge, huge, powerful software companies that will squash any good technology. They can't do that with Bitcoin. And this will come down the pipe. People will capture technology. It might be very idealistically good, but as far as the technology from the root of the technology, unless you're going with a decentralized protocol that basically cannot be confiscated or turned off, then you're just basically building something that will be acquired by a massive software, or, you know, like a Facebook, an Apple, a Google, Alphabet. And it doesn't really matter how good it is. You can't do that with Bitcoin. So the only thing I speak to as far as decentralized node building peer-to-peer is basically shaking a rancher's hand, peer-to-peer relationship management, and a new protocol system that is a network called Bitcoin. And, you know, the Lightning Network, that is extremely important to start understanding as far as your users is too. Those two things, if you're going to use new forms of technology, start with Bitcoin, start with the Lightning Network. Don't go anywhere else right now. If you choose to, after you've learned about Bitcoin being a peer-to-peer tool, then go for it. Go and look at your cryptos. But start with Bitcoin first and put about 100 hours into it. I guarantee you, you'll never go to another crypto solution or what they talk about it, that they come and go. All these scams from the, you know, FTX, Binance is in trouble, all of these ETFs, this is nothing more than a dot-com boom and a dot-com bust, and it will happen. It already has. People just don't understand how it's unfolding.
Yeah, I think it's just such a great concept. We talk about all the time, know your farmer, shake your farmer's hand, and your basically taking a social media, you know, as for taking the term peer to peer, as far as point to point, and relabeling it and creating human interaction. And, you know your rancher, know where your food comes from. You can go look at the pasture, you know, you can watch how these animals are cared for, which will in turn, you know, you can clearly see that this isn't some kind of CAFO operation, right, where these things are getting used on concrete and fed corn and all these different things. It's so revolutionary, and it's so essential for our children, for the sake of our children, to be able to raise healthy food and educate everyone that cow farts are not killing us. Cow farts are not warming the planet. That's just a propaganda methodology of control to eliminate a healthy food source for our legacy, for the next generation, and destroy our personal sovereignty.
100%. I mean, this is where, you know, it's kind of sad, but it's the truth. It's reality. How far our relationship with food has really come in a short period of time. And for people to be able to even question, or even not question, but to even validate that cows are bad for the environment, goes to show you that we don't know what food is as a nation. And this is what they've stolen from us. We used to be the most powerful nation when it came to food production. Now we don't produce food anymore. And this is not a judgment. And I know a lot of people in the commodity markets. I know a lot of people that are on harvest right now, salt of the earth people. But folks, our food system in the United States has been captured by multinational corporations. And I guarantee you, if you want to stand toe-to-toe with me and have a discussion about how our food has not been captured, I'm going to say, look at the health of the nation. Look at the health of the children of this nation compared to right now, to where whenever I was basically the same age of children right now, there is no comparison. And we're killing our children because of this mass consolidation of our grains and our soil. It's as simple as that, man. And if you cannot see that, if you really, then you're living in a form of denial. Once again, this is not a judgment. This is reality. And I would never say this to anybody. I'm not an influencer, man. This is something that we need to, as a nation, come together. And we need to start collaborating back to the way that we used to. This is what they stole from us, was that collaboration. We used to know how to steward our community first. And then we let that, those minerals, those resources, go to the outside world. But what they did is they took all of our resources. Now, you go to any small town in America, you have a Dollar General, you might have one restaurant, you have a convenience store, and you have a Walmart within 80 miles. That is the food source of this nation right now. The United States is now a food desert. And you can go to basically the streets of Philadelphia, into the worst parts of Philadelphia, they are a food desert. You go straight down to the 20 miles south of where I am right now, is Happy, Texas. That is a food desert. They are the same problem. And this is what a nation needs to come to terms with. We killed small town America. Small town America was the backbone of this country. Why? Because we knew what to do with our resources. We didn't shop them out to multinational corporations. We took care of them first, and then we shared outward. We didn't go and shove it out there to multinational corporations and hope that it came back to us in a box that says heart healthy and no sugar added, and it has a picture of a nice cow smiling on it. You know, come on, folks, let's know where our food comes from. We forgot that as a nation.
Yeah, and that's, we moved 10 years ago with the sole intention of learning that, and on a personal level, and if it meant us doing it ourselves, learning how to grow food. And then it's kind of interesting, because we originally, we started a longhorn herd about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and grew that herd. And we grew it more out of nostalgia. You know, all of our older boys, they wanted to be cowboys. So we bought some horses, and they've been living this cowboy, you know, here we are, a bunch of Northeasterners, you know, and they're living this cowboy lifestyle. And why I think that is so powerful is, you know, and what I try to encourage people that grew up down here is like, hey, y'all, we chose this lifestyle. That doesn't make us better or special, but we saw so much value in it, you know, and we homeschool our kids. And in the very same way, like what you were speaking to before, is through experience, you know, the same way you made it in IT, that's the way that we train and teach our boys to learn things. You don't have to go to some ivory tower. You can learn it experientially through try, failing, and adjusting. And, you know, our boys have learned how to rope cows, how to steer bulls, and all these different things. And this is the cowboy lifestyle that gives them grit, gives them integrity. It kind of gives them, you know, a physical backbone of hard work where that is essential and required. Good food is not cheap. And whether that's monetarily where it's going to cost you as an exchange of, you know, currency, or whether it's going to cost you through hard work and sweat and pain and time, you know, you can't to raise cattle in a regenerative way. You know, there's lots of things that go into that with soil management and rotation and all these different things. And none of it's easy. There's no simplified way to it. There's no real shortcut. And Joel Salatin talks about this homesteading tsunami. And I think we are part of that from 10 years ago as we started. And we're seeing more and more people waking up to this food intelligence, you know, that you speak of, where we understand that, one, our food is our medicine if it is raised in a holistic, regenerative way where it can have the natural properties that it was created to have and designed to have, where we can actually heal ourselves, we can be stronger, we can have less brain fog, and we can function at a higher capacity to continue to grow community, right? And collaborate together and talk together and network and do it in real time and in real space, not just virtually, but through, you know, whether it's different collections of meetings, whether we have meetups and different things. This is all part. We are definitely seeing a shift. We're watching a shift. And it's everything that is kind of fundamental to the Beef Initiative.
It really is. And, you know, just to reflect on what you said, you know, as far as Joe Salatin, a tsunami of homesteading, let's say, you know, everybody thinks, well, I can't do that. You know, that's what I always hear. I'm not able. I can't. I have more people wasting more energy on telling me things that they can't do instead of saying, hey, I'm going to. You don't have to go homestead, folks. You can do anything you want. You know, I've been traveling around the world my whole life. You know, you can go to freaking Bangkok, Thailand, and be in the most impoverished port of Asia in Bangkok, and you've got somebody growing food off a balcony 40 stories high, and they're not saying I can't, but they're feeding themselves. And so it's perspective first and foremost. It's basically understanding what true intentionality is and understanding why do we look at food the way we look at it right now. Well, we look at food as a form of convenience. You know, that's why everywhere, like here, I'm sitting right now outside of Amarillo, Texas. If I go into Amarillo, the most innovation I see right now going into Amarillo, Texas, which is used to be one of the most powerful cattle places in the world back in the 1930s. If I go to that same town right now, what I see, the only innovation I see are convenience stores and more convenience stores. On each store corner, the convenience store has become the new supermarket, and that's killing our children in a slow death. And that's just the reality. And nobody wants to own up to that. So perspective matters more than anything. We're all guilty. We're all part of this. Nobody's done anything wrong. The only thing you can do wrong moving forward is not setting your right perspective and creating your own solutions instead of saying you can't, and that food is convenience. Food is survival. What is expensive? Your insurance bills? Show me your pantry and I'm going to tell you what's expensive. Show me your checkbook and I will show you what's expensive. What are you doing with your life? What are your inputs to your life? What is your consumption model? What are you listening to? What are you basically viewing? What are you consuming? They're all correlated. And who controls that information? Who controls that consumption model? Do you know? I know. I know my people that basically produce the food for me. And I'm going to make sure that I'm going to do everything in this life to make sure those relationships are the strongest relationships that I have moving forward in the United States of America and across the world. I've got connections on every continent in this on this planet right now, and I'm going to make sure I steward those relationships because they are life-saving, and that's what people need to do. They need to change their perspective. The time, the gig is up. Whenever I was in big tech, it was 2003. It was after 9/11, and we were really looking at technology in a different way. In the very beginning, the telecommunications industry looked at the internet, and they said, are we going to adopt the internet as a form of revenue? Believe it. I mean, think about that, what I just said. The telecommunications industry looked at the internet and said, are we going to adopt this as a revenue stream? Okay, that's how ignorant people were back in the early days of the internet. Well, I was pretty good. I was a step ahead of most people because I brought a different perspective to what we were doing in technology. I wasn't institutionally taught. And so I was cited to do a research paper that took 6 months, and it was called The Division of Interpersonal Communication Skills. And I guarantee you what I wrote over those 6 months has come to our reality as a nation and a world on steroids. We don't know how to communicate with each other anymore. We're more connected than we've ever been. We're more disconnected from each other. Loneliness, you know, what's one of the major causes of death in agriculture and ranching right now in the United States and across the globe? What would you think that is?
I think suicide. Are they depressed?
Suicide. Yep. Yeah. Here we go. And, you know, there was a man here in Amarillo, Texas. He was a cattleman. He just committed suicide this last week. Why? Well, because there's a prohibition going against basically our food systems. And people really don't understand it because they look at food. Basically, you just said it earlier. And people need to understand this. The only reason we got here, as far as you want to call it evolution or whatever you want to call it, to where we are right now, is because food was medicine. Medicine is food. Right now, food is drug, drug is food. And this is where people don't understand. They compare our food systems even just 10 years ago. Everything that we're eating right now, you can't even compare it to 10 years ago. There's been a mass movement as far as labeling, FDA, everybody that basically has control of our market access to nutrition, they've destroyed that. Basically, we don't have market access to true nutrition anymore. And people are starting to wake up to that. And people like Joe Salatin, Will Harris, everybody that's made a life out of this, well, they're very valuable for our community. They're very valuable for this nation. And these people need off their damn TVs, and they need to get a direct peer-to-peer basically perspective of people out there that know what they're talking about. They're not trying to get rich, man. They're trying to save a nation. They're trying to save our soil. They're trying to save our children. They're trying to save a new generation of ranchers and producers. And the way that you do that is the way that I was raised. I was raised up as shit, man. It's time for the fragility to stop in this country. We've got to take a stand. You know, why is it that men in the United States right now in their 20s have testosterone levels of 200? They used to have it at 1200. That's an issue, folks.
Yeah.
You know, our hormones are off. Our basically metabolic health is destroyed. And it's a form of denial. And my father was a counselor. He was a counselor for women in basically rehabilitation off of drugs and alcohol. Well, what he sees now is a form of denial. And he has all the right in the world to be able to look and assess what's going on in this country. And what we have now is a form of denial, and it's scary. People have to eat every 4 hours. And this is why they're going to be able to capture us, because we have the medical, pharmaceutical, agricultural complex. And it is designed and engineered right now to keep you in that loop, to that circular loop of prescriptions. 78% of Americans are now on prescriptions. 50% of Americans are now obese, overweight, and diabetic. It's just the facts. 88% of Americans are now metabolically compromised, that is leading into some metabolic failure. Who's profiteering off of that? How much does insulin cost to each individual in the United States? If half of Americans are now on insulin or close to it, how much does that cost per month for somebody to be on insulin? It's $900 a month. Who's paying for that insulin? It's not the individual themselves. It's because insulin has been subsidized, because our taxpayers are now paying for all the insulin injections in the United States. People don't understand what's going on with our medicines or our food. And this is about to happen. We're going to go through an industrial food shift. That's what's unfolding right now. And that's basically what Joe Salatin talks about, is, you know, this tsunami of homesteading. We got to get back to eating the earth. That's what they stole from us. They stole the mindset first, and now they own that mindset, because everybody basically is out there saying, I can't, I don't know how. Well, you have the answers, you have the solutions, and you have thousands of people out there trying to steward a lifestyle that basically we used to live, and we were a lot happier. We were a lot healthier. Our spirits were more intact. We weren't fighting each other. We didn't have competition in livestock. We had collaboration in livestock. Whenever we went into commodities and subsidizing our food systems is when we started pitting these producers and ranchers against each other, because that's on a fiat standard instead of being on a decentralized peer-to-peer collaboration. That's what the Beef Initiative is. I don't allow any type of competition, man. This is a big collaboration. It's a big, great American health initiative that's going to be led by the great American rancher.
Well, that's the beauty of the Beef Initiative, because with all the denial around what food is and what food is healthy, there's also a denial in the ranching community. You know, we wanted to learn how to do this. So my one son actually worked on a, you know, it's a large ranch for us around here. They run about 800 head or so. And, but they're into this industrial model where you grow them out, you take them to the sale barn, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you're not capturing any value there. You know, you're liquidating at wholesale. Whereas is if you can network and collaborate with some folks like the Beef Initiative, now they can actually process and sell direct. And now there's actually a profit margin where they can scale down their herd. They can holistically manage a much smaller herd, which requires a lot less energy. And as these ranchers age, you know, that's all part of it. And it's where the problem becomes the solution. You know, the pandemic showed us the fragility of the supply chain and the manipulation and the control of the supply chain. And what it actually did, it was a blessing. That challenge was a blessing, because it showed us that one, these artificially suppressed food prices perpetrated by big ag and big ranch and all these different things, by that supply chain collapsing, and now, hey, people still want to eat meat, right? Where am I going to get it? Well, if I can shorten that supply chain, and hey, I might have to pay more, but in reality, that's the real cost of it, because there's a greater value, and the real cost is not artificially suppressed by big ag. And so what we hit these challenges, we have these struggles and challenges, and if we look to the challenge and the struggle, it actually, that's what permaculture teaches, right? Your biggest struggle, your biggest challenge is going to be the solution. And that's what we're watching. And the Beef Initiative is actually doing this on a large scale. It's providing ranchers with an access point where they can collaborate and say, hey, how do you do this? Because I want to do this. I can actually increase my profit margins. I can scale. I can reduce the scale of my operation and increase my profit margins and increase our quality of life all simultaneously while providing the local people in my community with a high value, high quality, nutritionally dense food product. It's such a beautiful thing, and watching it all come together, I think it's very powerful, and that's why I wanted to get your message out there so that more people would know what is the Beef Initiative, who is Texas Slim, what are these guys doing, and how are they doing it.
And that's a great, good overview. And, you know, I'm going to go into the macro and then I'll come back down to the micro. Because what I tell everybody, we build out locally and we broadcast globally. And so, you know, we use the word scale a bunch and everything. What I want everybody to understand is we're replicating successes. That's all we're doing. This is what they took from us. Okay, state of Texas used to, we have 254 counties in the state of Texas. State of Texas used to have 254 microprocessing centers. And so you were able to take those beeves to a local processor, or you could take them to the auction house. Okay. It's okay to sell your beef through the auction house as well. But, you know, we've always done that. That's what Amarillo was a big auction house of cattle. It started with the Goodnight Trail, Charles Goodnight, you know, one of the, probably about the second or third cattle drive that ever existed. And, you know, whenever Texas started feeding a nation. Okay, now let's look where we are right now. Let's look at the macro scale. Okay, who clear-cutted the rainforest the last 20 years? Who was that? That was China. Okay, where'd they do a lot of that? That was Brazil. Okay, what's going on in Brazil? Well, Brazil is a new global ranch. Just put it that way. Okay, who's in Brazil? Well, that's JBS. Who's JBS? Well, it's the biggest multinational processor center that controls a lot of the basically processing along with three others. 85% of our animal protein in the United States of America are now processed by multinational corporations that have nothing to do with the interests of the United States of America. So by building that ranch in South America, now Americans are eating basically South American beef. It's not really that big of a deal. Sure, let's share the wealth, right? So be it. But the thing about it is most Americans don't realize they're not eating American beef anymore because our beef is now being sold on that global market to the highest bidders. And so you get subpar beef that comes in and it says product of the USA. The only thing that is a product of the USA is when that cow got fed multinational grains after it was sold through an auction house. And right before it's going into processing, it gets fattened up, and then it gets put on our tables to feed our children. We don't know what's in that beef. It has nothing to do against the producers and ranchers of the United States of America. They're doing what they have to do to survive. And so that's what I want everybody out there to know. We're not talking crap on the producers and ranchers. We're making sure that producer and rancher, you know how many commodity cowboys I know here in the Texas Panhandle? We are the belly of the beast of the multinational corporations. Okay, we process 500,000, 5 million cattle a year out here in a place called Hartford, Texas. Does any of that beef end up on our plates? We should be the biggest damn city in the world. We don't have market access to that beef, because it got sold at the auction house and it went straight into that crossroad of either getting to your table or basically somewhere on the global market. Why will they never do country of origin? They're never going to pass that law, man. We give you rancher of origin. And that's what I want all the commodity people that go through the auction houses to understand that. You don't have to quit doing what you're doing in the commodity markets, but you can take 1% of that herd, and now you can come through the beef initiative. We have access to the microprocessing centers. Now you can start contributing back to your community. You can white label your beef. I've got a new beef line. It's called Texas Slim's Cuts. That's in partnership with K&C Cattle, Hometown Meats, Luling, Texas. Ranchers and producers in the last 50 years, they didn't think they could do this, and they couldn't. Guess what? COVID, just like you said, basically exposed their weaknesses and the cracks in the system. Now we have basically a vertical integration all the way from soil to fork that you don't have to ask for permission for. We know the law better than law enforcers know it, and we're going to show the world that this is what we're going to do. One community at a time, one cow at a time, one handshake at a time, one child at a time, one generation at a time. We got patience. They don't have patience. It took us 50 years to get here. I don't care. I got another 50 years in me. Let's go. And this is what we're going to do. We're not doing this as a marketing plan, folks. This is infrastructure. We are now going to be industry, and we're going to create our own industry in an industry that's trying to capture us. And they're going to try to come after a lot of us at times, but they can't because we're decentralized. You're going to shut down every microprocessing center across the United States? Nope. There's going to be beef initiatives all across this world, and it's going to be like a hornet's nest. And that's what we're doing. And, you know, I'm going to get very bold and very boisterous about this because we're saving children's lives. And so anybody that wants to come up and judge me, I'll take all spears and arrows and say, well, what are you doing? We're feeding thousands of families right now that never had market access to this type of beef. And now they do. It's a protocol of success. It's a protocol for small communities. It's protocols for everybody out there in big cities and doing exactly what you did. It's like, okay, I'm going to steward my family in a different way. You know how much opportunity is in small town America right now? If you start with a food system that you can support your family with first and then feed your community, you want to talk about having an entrepreneurial spirit. Oh my gosh, the opportunities right now in America to rebuild our small towns as they come after them even more, it's never been better. I've never seen the opportunities that I see right now, and it's going to be done through the portal of the Beef Initiative. I'm looking at processing centers right now. I'll tell everybody right now, there's a little town called Kittaquay, Texas. I'm going to go rebuild that small community over the next 5 years. And we're going to do this over and over and over again. We're going to replicate. Producers are going to start selling their own beef. Families are going to start basically eliminating the supermarket out of their mindset. And this is what we're moving forward with the Beef Initiative.
Well, what's so beautiful about everything you just said? Well, y'all, if you want to know why I wanted to have Texas Slim on here, I think the last 10 minutes just revealed that to you. wealth of knowledge. And what's so awesome is we can personally testify to everything that he just said. You know, we kind of stumbled into this thing, and we're going to try to raise cows. And we knew nothing. I mean, we knew absolutely nothing. We grew up in neighborhoods, went to government schools, learned all the proper history that would make us good little worker bees or the cogs in the machine. And you know, we decided to change all that. We come out here, you know, my kids on a whim, they were 6 or 7 years ago, they're like, Mom, we want to start a YouTube channel. And for some crazy reason, she said okay. And then we started experiencing all of this censorship and throttling and all this stuff, and you know, there was no ad revenue. So my son said, we have to monetize ourselves. How do we do that? Right. So we started a website. And so we started a website, and we wanted to either make or find local products where we could, you know, work homestead to homestead. And that's where our coffees and honeys and different things came from. And then what happened? We had our herd. We were buying all of our beef from our neighbor. We were buying Longhorn beef. And so we started to expand our herd. Now we had some cows that we needed to call and to fill our freezer. And what happened now, this was another product of COVID, right? We had two processors, one in Caddo, one in Sulphur Springs, but the wait time was 6 months to a year. So one, yeah, that's a challenge. If you're trying to put food on your plate and you got to wait, you can't wait a year for it, right? So, but then as Providence would have it, just recently, an awesome local processor, like just up the road, they took over their parents' processing center, and they are so, they're quick, they're friendly, they do beautiful processing in elegant packaging, and because of the speed and velocity in which they can do it, we were able to get our food in our freezer, and we were like, wow, this is so simple. Why don't we throw this out there? Why don't we offer some of our cows to the market through our network, through our peer-to-peer, and see what happens? And it has just exploded, and it's such a beautiful thing, because prior to that, you know, I work outside the home. I'm in commercial sales, and my boys have been wanting to develop. We've slowly accumulated about 50 acres, you know, and there's only so much pasture. Well, once this beef thing started taking off, we're like, hey, here's a viable renewable income stream, right? That is ours. So I said, hey, let's work on acquiring dirt first, and then we'll expand the herd. And we just networked through our friends, local friends. Come to find out, friends of ours just bought like 110 acres. And he was like, hey man, I would lease you like 40 or 50 acres and we could barter. He was, and the deal we worked out, it's not even going to cost us money, you know?
Yeah.
And so we have 40 to maybe almost 80 acres there of pasture, right? And we're going to manage it. We're going to do the soil tests and we're going to clear the weeds. We're going to holistically manage it. And that now gives us some scalability to scale our herd. And then we can expand our bandwidth as far as what we can offer to our community. And it's what it has done for us is it's made our homestead like fiscally viable now, where, and this has just happened in less than a year. And so when you take just our minor success, and then you look at what the beef initiative is doing on a global scale with, I mean, I listen to all your podcasts and all the different interviews and these different ranchers, just these incredible people with incredible stories offering incredible value as far as when it comes to food. It really does give you what is possible in the future, and that there are more and more people that are very concerned with where our food comes from, what it's all about, and even more people coming to understand that the solution to their ill health is their food. And it's this whole tsunami. It's that homesteading tsunami meeting the whole entire movement behind the beef initiative. And it really is a groundswell that I think is going to be incredibly successful. It does bring hope.
Well, in that, it's, thank you for telling your story, because more people need to hear what you've done, you know, your proof of work and how you approach things, how you approach everything starts up here, folks. It's in the mindset first. And that's what I had. I had a mindset and I had a vision, and I don't let anybody compromise that vision or that mindset. And, you know, that mindset, as far as I was standing in a gym about 3 years ago, and all of a sudden it was that aha moment, boom. And it was everything that how I was raised, what's coming down the pipe as far as our food systems. This is a global industrial food shift. It is unfolding. They've had their marching orders for a while. They're 6 years ahead of anybody's understanding right now. People are starting to see that. And there's going to be a time where there's not enough time, and there'll be too much demand coming in. I'm afraid that a lot of independent producers won't be able to basically catch and carry the weight, because they'll basically be where they are. That's why we need more people like you taking action, sharing those stories and showing that it is possible. People are looking for, you know, happiness these days. There's an evil thing going across this. A lot of anxiety. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of division, you know, and people need to understand, you know, it's okay to get back to the source of the seed of where we came from. That's the lifestyle people are looking for. That's the wealth people are looking for, is that spirit. And it starts really basically getting back to the soil. And that's what you did with your family. Well, here in Texas, you know, it's possible. It's possible anywhere across the world. You know, I have been around, you know, I'll be completing a whirlwind trip, you know, in October, in November, where the last 2 years I drove 150,000 miles across this country. That wasn't interstate, folks. That was back roads America. I know what's going on in this country. I've seen it firsthand. And we've got 2 years of content that we haven't even released to the world yet. And so for the next 2 years, we're going to be releasing all the content that I just filmed. And I went to four continents, two hemispheres, 150,000 miles across it. And I didn't ask for permission. And I'm not a rich man. I'm a poor boy from the dirt roads of West Texas. That's all grit, man. I don't live in debt. I never have been very good with the debt economy. I'm not very good with that shit. And I don't know how to do it. And my grandfather didn't either. He didn't understand the debt economy. He would turn over in his grave right now. He never owed a man a dime. And if he did, he would not sleep at night. And so, you know, we've leveraged ourselves. We've leveraged our mindset. We've leveraged our spirit in the wrong direction a little bit. a lot of people out there with very good intentions have basically, you know, their trust has been taken care of, taken advantage of. That's what they've done in our food systems. No matter if you're a producer, a farmer of, you know, thousands of acres of wheat fields or corn fields, those aren't the same wheat fields and corn fields that basically got us here. And our bread basket is not the same as it was. Once again, it's not a judgment, but there's opportunities now for everybody to change their perspectives and to basically wake up. And if you turn, I haven't watched TV in, you know, years and years and years. I do not allow commercials to come through these ears. I don't pay attention to the centralized media control that we're in. And I was in those labs. I know how they basically engineered dopamine and how to do the dopamine. Dopamine is a pleasure seeker. Serotonin is your happy chemical that you're looking for. What you're doing with your family, that's serotonin. What most people do every day with food and social media, that's dopamine. Dopamine's dangerous. Serotonin is a lifesaver. That's the happiness that we're looking for. And it does. It starts with that relationship management that starts with that handshake. And it starts getting a perspective to, it's okay to build your community from the ground up. Your community is you first. Get yourself back to where you feel good, that you basically have some power, that you feel empowered every day. And that's my story. I can speak to my story. I'm very transparent. I damn near died. That's why we have the Beef Initiative. And I'm going to go tell the world about this. This is my life mission now. And I'm going to go save children's lives. And I'm going to create a great American health initiative that's going to spread across this planet. And it's going to be led by great American producers and ranchers, those independents that basically know that they can now do it again. That's what the multinational corporations, chemical, grain, and processing packers have done to our basically our nation. They took away that sense of empowerment. No more. And if you want to come along for the ride, the cattle drive has started, and it's going to be a long one. So, you know, giddy up.
Wow, well, this has been great. So Slim, if folks want to follow you, I'll put all the links to the Beef Initiative. Sure. Down below. But if folks want to follow you, where can they find you?
Well, thank you for following me for the amount of time you have. And it was roughshod. It was everywhere. We were scattering. I was doing reconnaissance this last 3 years. Well, we're very definitive now. So nobody has to be confused. We've consolidated, just like they're consolidated. We've consolidated all of our information. We're re-releasing all of our podcasts, everything, all of our articles. It started with the Harvest of Deception series. So I tell everybody, go to beefinitiative.com, sign up on that pop-up. What that is, that's giving you access to all of our newsletters. We're going to have 5 newsletters now that are coming out almost every day of the week. It's going to be The Voice. What is that? That's The Voice of the Great American Ranchers. Now the ranchers have their own newsletter that they get to tell their story. So we'll invite you to tell your story through The Voice. And so by doing that, you sign up for all the information that you're going to need to get involved as being a producer, rancher, a wannabe, whatever it is. It does not matter. An aspiring, if you're trying to be if you're a commodity cowboy and you're trying to find out ways, it's one-stop shop now. Go to thebeefinitiative.com, get signed up, start paying attention to these newsletters, because they're going to start basically blitzkrieging the whole world with information that I've been compiling and my team have been compiling over really a time span of the last 4 years. We've got the best beef intelligence. We know what's going on, boots on the ground. We know what's unfolding. We know that basically the inventories of cows right now in the United States of America are the lowest it's ever been since 1973. What happened in 1973? Eric Butts of the Nixon administration said, you're going to go big or you're going to go home. And this is where basically we've come in that 50-year period. Well, a lot of people went big, and now a lot of people don't have a home to go to. The land that my grandfather stewarded for decades upon decades, big decades in West Texas, it's a wind farm now. It's not producing anything. except profits for these multinational corporations that are coming after your food. They're coming after your energy. They're coming after your spirit. They're coming after your, you know, people don't understand we're going through a monetary reset, man. This is what's going on. Why do we have hyperinflation? It's because the dollar doesn't have value like it used to. We got BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China and South America. That's a new Silk Road for basically distribution across this planet, folks. There's something that's going on the global supply chain lines, and we're not going to be invited to the party. And that's what Americans need to start understanding. We got to bring everything back home, and it starts within the community. How you start building community, go to thebeefinitiative.com and find your entry point, be it a consumer, be it a producer, rancher, be it a, you know, curiosity, whatever you need to do. I will sit at the table with anybody across this planet right now, be it the dude in the office of our White House right now, or anybody else across this planet. You're a commodity cowboy. I don't care who you are. I'll sit at the table. I'll be transparent. I'll tell you exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, and I'll give you the factual information. If you're one of those guys that need to have cited reports or peer-reviewed, we've got it all. And we're the best beef intelligence of the world right now, both from commodity all the way to regenerative. We've got a roadmap for anybody that wants to come along with us. And it starts at thebeefinitiative.com.
Well, there you go, folks. Now you know where to find Slim and the Beef Initiative at thebeefinitiative.com. Slim, thank you so much for your life's work, what you're committed to do. Thanks for taking the time to share it with us and with our community. And with that, I want to remind you of one more thing. Stay fearless, my friends.
Appreciate you.
Thanks.